We were covering here the Sermon on the Mount most recently, and we just are finishing up here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. And last time I was able to start and get through a part of Matthew 7 where Jesus said, "Judge not that you may not judge," and went on to show that if you cast out the big 2x4 out of your eye, the beam, then you'll be able to cast the splinter or the little bit of wood out of your brother's eye. And God shows that throughout the Bible because, as I explained, Paul went in 1 Corinthians 6 was talking about judging, and we're going to judge the world and judge angels and how much more things of this life. So the context here in Matthew is talking about condemning. You're not to go around condemning people and perhaps being a hypocrite because you have the same problem. But if you grow in grace and knowledge, you may be able to help others, not condemn them, but help them. And you've got to make distinctions between right and wrong and good and bad. And God tells us that all the way through. That's not judging in the sense of condemning at all. So he explained that here. And then he said, "Ask," in verse 7, "and you will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." You've got to keep on praying to God, trusting God, but coming back to God again and again, and not giving up. Let God know you really want what you're asking with all your heart. And he goes on to show then that if whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. God is very good to us, and we've also got to be very good to one another. You want to learn to love your neighbor as yourself. That's called the golden rule, and here it is. And as I said last time, Jesus is actually quoting from Leviticus 19:18, because as the word, the spokesman of the Old Testament, Jesus gave that way back then. But we can understand today far more how to apply that. Then let's continue here in verse 13. "Enter by the narrow gate," Matthew 7, verse 13. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Most people enter in the wrong way. They're not getting into God's kingdom or getting into God's blessing. They think they're going to heaven, of course, in most cases, which they're not. But they think they're getting into God's reward by going the broad way, the way everyone else is going. And Jesus said, don't do that. That's the wrong way. That's the way the vast majority of the world are going. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Be willing to go the way that God's word directly says. Be willing to stand alone if you have to and obey God. Have courage and realize there is a real God and he will back up this word if you obey him. Learn to have that kind of understanding and courage. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now remember, false prophets don't come with a pitchfork and horns and say, "Here I come, I'm going to deceive you." They don't come like that. They're very smooth. Often they are very educated men. They have mellifluous voices. They sound very good. They talk about the Bible. They use the name Jesus Christ, but they don't say what he said. As Jesus said back here in Matthew 24, in what we call the Olivet Prophecy, right after he described, of course, what was going to happen. In general, the disciples said, "Well, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And in verse 4, Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" Many will say that Jesus is the Christ and will deceive who? A few oddballs off on top of the hill somewhere? No, they will deceive the many. Not a few, but many. And that is exactly what has happened. Millions of people, hundreds of millions, frankly, often use Christ's name, but they go the wrong way. Jesus said, if you had entered a life, keep the commandments. And they say, well, no, it's all done away by the cross or by the Apostle Paul or by something. And they don't go that way. They go a different way. And they have a whole different concept of God, a whole different concept of the very purpose of human existence than you find if you just read this book. Not letting, you know, men change it around, but just read it and let yourself know that God says what he means and means what he says. So he says here, beware of false prophets. Be alert. They'll come in sheep's clothing. They look real good. They look like a sheep, like Christ. But inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. That doesn't mean they deliberately want to destroy you in every case, but they want what they want. They want prestige, and they're going to keep you in their flock and as their followers regardless. You will know them by their fruits. A tree produces fruit. Is it good fruit or bad fruit? Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now think about it. The Christian religion has been extant in Europe for hundreds and hundreds of years, going back well over 1,000 years, in fact, nearly 2,000 years. What has it produced? As many historians know, most of the great wars of this modern age and for hundreds of years have been in Europe, usually Christians fighting, butchering, slaughtering Christians. Sometimes Catholics would be fighting Catholics, sometimes Protestants fighting Protestants, sometimes, you know, Catholics persecuting Protestants and vice versa. But that's what it is, on and on. And our American Civil War, one of the most bloody wars in human history, where the Protestants would charge up the ridge, and maybe you'd have good members of one Protestant church on one side and members of the same church on the other side, literally killing one another. Sometimes, as history shows, they were even related, maybe brothers or cousins from the same family, the same church. They didn't have the understanding from the Bible, because the churches of this world don't teach you to fear God. They don't teach you to do what God said regardless. If they would do that, these men would know the command, thou shalt not kill. And you're to love your enemy, as we saw back in Matthew chapter 5. You're to do good to him. Pray for him. You can't have that attitude and take your bayonet and try to cut his guts out, being very plain about it. War is awful. War is the exact opposite of everything Jesus Christ taught, everything he lived for and died for. The Christians have been slaughtering each other, so-called Christians, for hundreds of years. They're blinded. They don't know. They're going the wrong way. And the fruit has not been good. And so all the other things that have happened in our modern so-called Christian civilization, divorce and remarriage, the breakdown of the family, and our so-called Christian society here in America, pornography, mass murder, where we have murdered about 35 million unborn babies, slaughtering them. You talk about the slaughter of the innocents. What's happening here in the United States? Think about it. And now we're beginning to talk about euthanasia in the Western world. And I think it was in Holland they're introducing the idea of euthanasia. We can kill the little unborn babies, and now we can put the old people to death, okay? If they're not in perfect shape or can't defend themselves, you say, well, better to get rid of them. And pretty soon they're going to get more and more toward the middle. You might be next. You need to think about that. Is there value to human life? Does the religion of the world teach God's way? No, it does not. And so the fruit is not good. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, Jesus said in Matthew and in verse 19 here, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Eventually, all these false religions are going to be destroyed. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. By the result. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You've got to do God's will. You've got to say, Father, not my will, but your will be done, and really, truly mean that from the bottom of your heart. Even then, you'll make a lot of mistakes. Your human nature will make you blat out some word or do some stupid thing once in a while, of course. But your attitude has got to become that. To truly surrender to God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? And my friends, a lot of you know this. The word prophesy is often translated preached in the New Testament. Haven't we preached in your name? Jesus said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker doesn't do that. You know that. Who does do that? Preachers. They come preaching Christ. And they say, well, haven't we preached in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we cast out the demons of ignorance and superstition and despair? They call those things demons because they don't know about real demons, most of the modern ministers, and done many wonders. And so they establish homes for the drunks and the bums down on Skid Row, and they establish homes for unwed mothers. But the trouble is they are treating the effect. They are not treating the cause. The cause of unwed mothers, the cause of people without a purpose in life, of course, to get drunk and to carry on that way as a way of life, is that they don't know God, and they're not taught God's commandments. And God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit fornication, and God has all those laws. No drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven, God says. And if those things were taught by every church, every school, every family in the land, this nation would be revolutionized in its whole way of life. So we want to understand that. They're not being taught those things. They're getting at the result, but not at the cause. And the cause is disobedience to God's law. And so Jesus brings that out. You said you've done all these wonderful things, but Jesus said, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that is from the original Greek. The Greek word here is anomos, A-N-O-M-O-S, against law. And that's the whole root cause which most of the so-called Christian world does not understand. They talk about grace. They talk about law or grace, like you've got to have one or the other. That's not true. You have law and grace. You disobey God's law, and you're breaking the spiritual principles of God himself, and you're supposed to repent of that when you're converted. But God will forgive you if you repent. But you can't deliberately continue doing it. You must not continue doing it. You've got to live by God's law. And people aren't taught that in the so-called Christian churches. And so Jesus said to those people, and frankly, they're the vast majority, I never knew you, he's going to tell them, depart from me, you who practice as a way of life, you break God's Sabbath. As a way of life, many of you take God's name in vain. As a way of life, you cheat in various ways, in school or on your income tax or whatever. As a way of life, you're doing all kinds of bad things. As a way of life, you may be committing adultery or looking on another woman to lust after her. What Jesus said is adultery. And when you watch most of these Hollywood movies and most of these Hollywood TV shows, that's what they're filled with illicit sex and violence, encouraging and picturing in your mind lust and war and violence and killing and illicit sex, all those things that God condemns. Think about it. This is the world and the society that calls itself a Christian civilization, but it is not. And Jesus said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He gets very strong in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the teaching of the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. Most of you have not known that Christ, but you need to get acquainted with him. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, if you obey these principles, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. You need to build your house on a real strong foundation. As most of you know, men who are building skyscrapers have got to build it on absolute rock, and they'll drill way, way down to find solid rock. Otherwise, that thing's going to start settling down and turning to one side and may ruin the building. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, for it was founded, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, if you don't obey God and don't keep his commandments and don't listen to what Jesus said and do what he said, does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. It's just going to collapse. And I'll tell you, my friends, when the events speed up toward the end of this age, and the great tribulation begins, there's going to be a great sorting out process. And most people are going to realize they don't have real faith in God, and God is not real to them. And when Christ comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they're going to really understand that. They have never known the real Christ of the Bible. They've never let him live his life in them through the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know, many modern ministers will say, and I know I heard this in my church growing up, they'll say, St. Paul suggests this morning. God doesn't suggest, God tells you. Jesus said, do this, don't do that. It's very clear, and it comes from the authority of God. That's the way Jesus taught, and that's the way I teach you, as you see by now, on Christ's authority. So please listen for your good, not my good, your good, your eternal good. And so we've got to think about this. Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount saying, do these things and you will be sound and you will make it into God's kingdom. Don't do these things and great will be the fall of your entire life and everything you've ever hoped for when you understand it. And so he taught them with authority. Let's listen. Thank you for listening now. That's it for this time, and we'll continue right on going through Matthew in the next program. This is Roderick C. Meredith speaking for the Living Church of God.